I get a phone call, and I think it might have even been from the hospital, from one of my family members, requesting me to come to the hospital because Uncle Carl is babbling in Dutch and no one knows what he's saying. Okay, I'm on my way. I get there. There is a whole welcome committee because everyone is really excited. No, that's not the right word. Doesn't matter. Everyone wants to know what he's saying because they're worried. Of course they're worried, Jesus. Very worried. And so I sit next to his bed and he's happy I'm there. And he starts saying not so logical things. Vetje. Vetje is the first thing he says. Vetje. And it's a weird word, people. Vet means fat. And vetje is the diminutive. And it sounds, I've never heard the word. Actually, no, that's not true. I think, oh my God, my brain. I think it is the name of one of the pirates in the Dutch version of Captain Hook, or Peter Pan. I think the fat one, like the assistant of Captain Hook, I think in the Dutch version his name is called Vetje. But I have no idea where this came from, so it could also be 100% not true. But anyway, he keeps repeating this word, and he says things like, okay, people, let's go. We have a long way to go. Or, what a beautiful day today. Calm waters. But just things that make no sense at all. Nonsensical. But then I notice that he is responding to sounds. Hospital sounds. So every time there is a... So he's quiet, he's calm, he's not in pain, he's not in distress. It actually looks quite peaceful, to be honest. But every time there's a beep or a sound or a whatever, like he's in hospital, so there are beeps everywhere. Every time there's a beep, he makes one of those nonsensical comments. And I don't know why. People bless me and my brain. I have a feeling he's on a boat. In his mind, he's on a boat. The more he speaks, the more I am convinced that he thinks he's on a boat. And one of the reasons that I, like the straw that breaks the camel's back, that I'm like, yes, 100% sure he's on a boat and he thinks the boat's called Vetje. Or something or other, because he is laying on one of these sort of blow-up mattresses that, like, it's like a combination between a blow-up mattress and a waterbed, and it gets inflated and deflated to ensure that elderly people don't get, we call them doorlichtwonden in Dutch. I don't know the word in English, but to prevent them from getting sores and whatever nasty wounds because they're not moving anymore. So he is being rocked. He's not floating, but like it feels like he is not on solid ground. And that is exactly the idea of this mattress. But so he's on a boat. And he keeps referring to this boat, and he tells me things about the boat, and he tells me things about the people on the boat. And lo and behold, he tells me where they're going, Fremantle. Well, no, he says Sydney. In first instance, he says Sydney. We're on our way to Sydney. Are we almost there? I know he will never make it to Sydney, but or at least not then. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And then he says to me, I kid you fucking not. He says to me, soon as I get to Fremantle, I'm getting off. I'm done. I'm done, done, done. If I can make it in Sydney, I can make it in Fremantle. Okay, you do what you want. That's exactly what he did freaking 80 years before. No, not 80, 70 years before that. So I know that what he's saying is true, even though all the rest of the things that he's saying make no sense to me. I know that in his mind, everything about that conversation makes total sense. So I start to take him seriously. I'm like, okay, pay attention, because he's saying things that are important to him. And I have a feeling he is going to die very soon. And he does, but I don't know that at that specific point in time. Okay? So I listen to him, and at some stage, he says something about family. And the coincidence, people, I am not lying. The next day, I am supposed to fly, and I am flying, to the Netherlands to celebrate my grandparents' 60th, and I think it's diamond, wedding anniversary. And so at some stage, he's calm, and I think he, I don't know, I start talking. I want to keep him... I want to make him feel comfortable. So I bring up my grandparents. And I do not say anything about the wedding. I do not say anything about me going there, because I don't want to upset him, because I know he's never going to see his brother again, right? Which is sad, but I know it. And so I bring up my grandparents, or I say that I'm going to the Netherlands soon or something. And I'm not lying, he brings up my grandparents' wedding day. In Rotterdam, somewhere in the 50s, I don't know, 1950 something, I don't know. As if he was there. But he was there. In his mind, he was 100% fucking there. And he says, oh, you were so worried, because the day, this was in September, and I think it was the 12th of September, but it doesn't matter, like the wedding day. And it's supposed to be a nice, like the early September, usually, well, apparently in the 50s, that was a nice, beautiful, sunny time to get married. And Uncle Carl's, yeah, starts the story off with that it was not a good start of the day, because it was raining, and everyone was panicking, because how are we going to get this beautiful bride and groom to City Hall without getting wet? I don't know what they were thinking, but anyway. And who cares? It's raining on your wedding day. Fuck it. No one cares. But they care, okay? But as soon as the bride and the groom and the guests, I don't know if they're walking there, because they're living in Rotterdam. I'm assuming. I think so. I think everyone was living in Rotterdam. Yeah, that's where they're getting married. As soon as they open the front door to go to get married, the sun starts shining. And he tells me this while he is dying. People in Australia, 60 years later, actually fucking to the day, 60 years later to the day, he's telling me this. And I am touched. I am emotional, and I feel privileged that I have had that conversation with my uncle. And because he is saying that, I feel like, okay, I can talk about it. Like, I can say that that's where I'm going, and that I'm going to see them, and that I will give them a big hug from him. And yes, I can give him the information about me leaving and going to see his brother without upsetting him. Like, that's how I feel. So that's what I say. I say something like, I'm flying there tomorrow, And because they're married now, 60 years, 60, because he said 60 years. Wow, it's a long time. Yes, it is a long time. So, yeah. And he's, oh, God. This guy was about to die, okay? Literally dies very shortly after, but he says, give me my wallet. I think still, like, the entire, no, not the entire hospital crew, but there were still people in the room watching this whole thing unfold. I grab his wallet, and he gives me $50 to buy them a present. And he comes up with the idea, something for a plant. I don't know why, but he says, a plant is nice. Plants are nice, okay, people? Plants are very nice. So I'm like, okay, I am going to have to buy my grandfather and my grandmother a plant on behalf of Uncle Carl. And when I come back to Australia, because I hope that he's still alive, right, when I come back, I will show him the pictures and I will make them Skype together or whatever, because I feel time's ticking. Anyway, did he say anything else? Yes, he does say anything else. He says, and that's the cutest part, he says, can you please tell them that I'm sorry that I can't make it? And I will see them next time. And my heart breaks a little bit, but I don't want to cry. This is a beautiful moment, and I promise him that I will say that. And I leave, give him a big hug, tell him I'll see you later. And I do not see him later. I hop on a plane, I'm happy, because I haven't seen my family in a long time. And as soon as I land on Schiphol Airport, my mom and dad inform me that Uncle Carl has passed away while I was on my way to the Netherlands. I think I've missed every fucking funeral in the last 10 years that it has taken. No, oh God, no. No, I've been to a funeral. Oh Jesus, not today. Not today, okay. Sorry, people. Okay, so I'm sad, but I'm also happy because of that last moment that I shared with him. It was beautiful. And I can't wait to buy my grandfather a plant and give him a big hug. My parents take me home. They live about 20 minutes from Schiphol Airport, and they live above a small, what is it? Retail. It's not really a shopping area. So the town that they live in have like four families. But no, it's a supermarket. It's a, oh, they have a tattoo artist now, actually, people. Can you believe it? Used to be a print shop, I think, but now it's a tattoo artist. They have a drugstore, pharmacist, and a, is that the word, florist? Floralist. A flower store, shop. A flower shop, we call it a flower shop. And so the first thing I do, because the next day is the party, I need to go buy a plant. I can't buy it with the $50. I might still have that same $50 somewhere. That's how weird I am. Oh, that reminds me of that sticker I have of that football player in my wallet. Oh God. Yeah, but my laptop got stolen and then found back 2 years later. Miracles, miracles, miracles. Anywho, I walk into the flower shop and the salesperson asks me if I'm looking for something specific. Yes, I'm looking for something very incredibly specific, okay? A plant that will remind my grandfather for the rest of his life of his brother. Brother lives in Australia, just passed away less than 24 hours ago. What plant is suitable? I'm not joking. This is the state I'm in. And he has the perfect, I kid you not, he has the perfect fucking plant. It's called a kangaroo plant. No, kangaroo paw plant. Something. Look it up. I don't know exactly the name, but the little flowers are fluffy-ish. Like de hazelaarboom, de toverhazelaar. Ik weet dat, want ik ben een hazelaar. Anyway, I think they're reddish or purplish. And the little flowers look like kangaroo paws. So it's called the kangaroo paw plant. Perfect. There's no better plant in the world than this plant right now. I buy it immediately. We go upstairs. We talk about the passing. Of course we do. I probably tell him the story about Vetje and the journey to Fremantle. The next day, my grandfather knows by then that I am the last one that had a meaningful conversation with him, because after I left, no one was able to properly communicate with him anymore because they didn't speak the same language. And my grandfather comes up to me. He doesn't know about the last conversation I have had with his brother until that point, okay? Or up until then. And he comes up to me and he hugs me and he cries. And he's sad. He also says he's had a beautiful life and very fortunate, blah, blah, blah. And I grab the, no, I ask my grandfather if we can sit down because I have a gift for him. And he thinks it's the plant, right? And of course the plant is also the gift, but I need to introduce the plant because otherwise he doesn't know why I gave him a plant that is a little bit bizarrely looking, but cute, a cute plant. But not a very common gift, I think. Oh, I don't know what else I would have bought him. Anyway, thank you for the gift suggestion, Uncle Carl. It was great, great gift. So I tell him the story about Uncle Carl and the boat trip, journey. It was not just a trip, it was a journey. To Fremantle and like some of the things he says and some of the things actually my grandfather confirms, chimes in a little bit and is like, oh yeah, and then this happened and I remember this story and I remember this and I remember this, okay. And I tell him that this is, so the plant is basically from Uncle Carl. I didn't give them anything. Oh my God, I didn't give them gifts. Oh my God, Uncle Carl gave me the money, so I didn't give, I'm just realizing I never gave my grandparents a gift for their 60th wedding anniversary. They're both dead, so it's good. Oh, that is terrible, that's terrible. Anyway, thank you for saving the day, Uncle Carl. So give him the plant and to tell him the story. And my grandfather is very emotional, but very happy. And he grabs both my hands and he says to me, now it's up to you. As of today, it is your responsibility to keep the two parts of the family together. You are now the glue.
gives me his blessing for this task. Freaks me out. It's actually one of the reasons why I left Australia. I was like, I don't want to be responsible for this shit. Fuck you. Keep your own family together. Yeah. Anyway, guys, I will come visit you soon. Soon, soon, soon. I'm a different person. I'm not walking away anymore. Running away. Walking. Fucking torpedoing away from emotions anymore as you now know. You probably knew it already before listening to some other episodes, but yes, I'm sitting with emotions, okay? And whatever comes out, comes out. And then I put it on Spotify, because that's what you do. I don't know where I was, and this is an emotional episode, so 20 minutes I think is enough.